In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
On this episode of Crown Jewels,
we sent our best wishes and a speedy recovery to Sarah Ferguson.
Prince William starts his 5-year initiative to end homelessness, and he's taking action.
And we're kind of glad that our Twirl Spotify deal fell through. But what's next for Netflix?
We are back with another episode of Crown Jewels, the elite podcast for the royally obsessed, presented by Betches Media. I'm Lex Nico.
And I'm Samantha Bush. And before we jump into everything, I just want to catch up with my girly. How are you?
You know what? I'm good. I'm starting to feel a little anxious because I'm going home next week and I have done no packing and nothing of the sorts. But we'll get it done. But behind me is a mess of clothing. And for the Virgos, that doesn't slide.
No, that like sounds like a mess for you, but for me, that sounds like every day.
You know? How are you? Yes.
I'm good. I'm really tired today. Mm-hmm. The Bachelorette was on last night and it's on at 9 p.m. They moved time slots and I'm furious.
Okay. I have so many questions because I'm trying to back. I stopped watching, I think, after Matt James's season was the last season of The Bachelor that I took in.
Okay.
So I've been out of the game for a while.
Yeah.
But okay, it's on at 9 p.m.
Nine.
You just reminded me before we started recording that it is 2 hours long.
Yeah.
What are they doing in those 2 hours?
I don't fucking know, okay? Like, it's 2 hours long. Occasionally, it's two times a week. I'll do Monday, Tuesday for after
both
the final
2 hours?
Rose. Yes. It's a lot. And like last night, I get why it needed to be a longer episode because it was the first episode. It was a premiere.
Sure.
But I'm like, why 9 p.m.? And I guess it's because like this season where it's supposed to be like more adult.
Did you find the first episode more adult?
I didn't. Charity is lovely, beautiful, stunning, gorgeous.
Yes.
But she's like a Disney princess. Like she's not, I don't think she's going to be fucking in the windmill, you know, like
yeah.
Hannah Brown. So I love her. I hope she finds love. The guys, I mean, she's getting tall guys. Like,
yeah.
Dudes, tall dudes. Yeah.
I did see some sort of like fodder on Twitter about it. Is there a guy named Josh? There's some guy named Josh. I don't know. People were talking about Josh.
There's a guy named Josh. There's always a guy named Josh.
Yeah.
People were talking on Twitter about Josh.
I honestly don't even remember. He might be a short king.
Joey. You're thinking of Joey. He's the tennis pro, which,
yeah.
You know, if you guys love The Bachelor or any sort of reality television, please go follow and listen to The Bachelor Pod. It's hosted by Jared Fried in KU York City, and it's so funny. But yeah, he's the tennis pro, and like no one can figure out, like, why are you on this show? Like, you're gorgeous. You live in Hawaii and you play tennis. Like,
yes, and he lived in Hawaii. And a lot of women were like, booking a flight to Hawaii.
He's hot as fuck.
That's what was up. Okay.
Yeah, he's
super
hot.
I have a very decorated history with the Bachelor franchise. I loved The Bachelor. Bring back Winter Games. Bring back The Pad. Like, I miss those little, like, what are they? Spinoffs?
Spinoffs.
Offshoots. But, like, it just got to a point where I could not continue to watch this show. And then I started to feel really bad for the people on the show because it's like, who was the last Bachelor? Zach? Like, you know, the whole thing about the Bachelor franchise was like, you're the lead. It's instant highway express to a million followers and your influencer career. Yep. But I think Zach like net out at like 220 or something.
Maybe less than that.
Yeah.
Like even the winner, so normally like the girls do really well for the show. Like you used to be on the show and you could be like sixth runner up and you'd be leaving with 800,000 followers.
Yeah.
And brand deals up the ass.
Exactly.
Now, I mean, even the winner, Katie, who I mean is lovely, I think she has like 200,000 followers.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yes. So it's really interesting how it's changed.
I feel like the last solid influencer era of the Bachelor franchise was like whatever season the like Hannah G was on, you know?
Yeah, just chatted that with part. Hannah G last week.
Oh, she's lovely. Lovely.
She's getting married in August.
I know. They're really, really nice. So best wishes to them. Yeah. Their upcoming nuptials.
Mazel.
I also, though, have to say, like, I just, the best show on television right now for me, which is in the same time slot, Below Deck Sailing Yacht. Like, there, it's so good this season. And I've always, always said Below Deck is the unsung hero of, like, the Bravo network and the Bravo cinematic universe.
Yeah. People don't realize Below Deck is the number one show on Bravo and has been for years. Like, it's the highest rated because I think, like, straight men watch it, women watch it.
My dad watches it.
Yeah, everyone loves it. The like men in my life call it the boat show, but they like love it. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's, you know, it's always on. So like if you are ever like just want, and you can jump in at any time.
You can jump in at any time, any franchise. There's Below Deck, the original. There's Below Deck Med. There's Below Deck Down Under. There's Below Deck Sailing. It's just
Below Deck. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
And I really want Colin and Gary, who are on Below Deck Sailing, they're like two bro-y friends who have been on for a few seasons. I really, really wish that they would bring them to Winterhouse so badly. So badly. But
well, I think two of the Below Deck girls were on Winterhouse this season.
Really?
Malia?
Wait.
Yeah, like it's coming upcoming. Out.
Oh, season. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. The upcoming one. Sorry.
I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, I can't be behind that. On my Below Deck news.
No. Yeah, that's coming.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, great to catch up on what we're watching.
Yeah, it's great.
Sam, do you want to start us off with some royal subjects for our royal subjects?
I would love to. So we kind of touched on this a little bit last week, but we didn't have a lot of detail surrounding this news is that William, you know, has decided that it's his calling to fight homelessness.
Yes.
So the heir to the throne kicked off the initiative by visiting pilot projects that have received grants of up to £500,000, which is equal to $637,000 each from the Royal Foundation, the charity that supports the work of William and his wife, Kate. So, like, we're slowly getting some more information because last week, you know, it's not easy to be like, I'm a prince and I'm going to solve all these problems.
Yeah. And last week, the headline was very much more about the fact that he wanted to expose his children to homelessness. And that was sort of the grab from the Times article versus what
was
he was actually doing. But you know what? I kind of, like, poked fun last week at Will's just because
that's
what I do.
Of course.
But I saw, I was like having this conversation with somebody. I forget if it was my mom, you know, our number one fan, or a publicist friend of mine. And basically, you know, they were like, he's trying to do something and he's trying to do something good. And if that's the case, then like, why not be supportive and positive about that fact? And so, I love having this update that, you know, he's actually putting pen to paper here and fast. As far as we know, fast.
And I guess it's a 5-year endeavor. He plans to end long-term homelessness in 5 years. So, you know, I'm excited to kind of see how he really channels his passion into action because that seems to be where the royal family kind of like falls flat. Like they have all these great ideas and yet like nothing really seems to come of any of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I did send you a TikTok this morning of Barack Obama.
You did.
And I was like, this really resonates with me when it comes to the royal family is he's like, you can be really like you can articulate like your passion and your problems and what you've gone through and like all of these things and all your trials and tribulations. But like, then what? Mm-hmm. Like you have to be a person of action to like get things done. He's like, that's what I always look for. He's like, because anyone can really be super articulate and like describe their pain. But like, what are we doing about it? How are we solving the problem? And I'm like, that's what they like. Maybe I should send that TikTok to Harry and Meghan, you know?
Seriously. And I do feel like, you know, I always say this when I mentor people. I'm like, it's not about being a problems-oriented person. It's about being a solutions-oriented person. And like, people just want you to like, at least in the corporate world, like they just want you to make a decision and make a plan and be like, point and let's go do it. Like the majority, mm-hmm. in my experience, it's like if you come solutions oriented, you're being seen as a thought leader. And so I do think for Wills, you know, there's some interesting tidbits in a CNN article that I was reading about this, because they said some may argue it's easy for a person of privilege to spout ideas and criticisms, exactly what Barack has been saying. Mm-hmm. But over the years, William has committed to helping tackle the homeless crisis in whatever way he can. And he said, it's not insurmountable, this challenge. If anyone does become homeless, we can say, okay, here's the way back. Here's the pathway. We can visualize that and we can show people that there is a way to do it. So mm-hmm. I do appreciate that that is sort of the mentality that he is taking. And he's not trying to interfere with government policies. He also said, my plan is to be additive to what is already being done. Because again, we know our royals do not like mixing politics and policy with their
right.
royal, you know, things to do. Mm-hmm. So I do think that this will be very interesting to continue to watch. I'm certain that we are going to continue to get news about this mm-hmm. and William talking about this in the media because, you know, that's what he's got to do. Use that platform, baby.
He's got to do what he's got to do. And this is a side note, too. We don't mm-hmm. have it as a tea and crumpet because I feel like this is there's a lot this week coming at us. But I do want to touch on, obviously, the Princess of Wales playing tennis.
Oh, yes. Oh, Roger Federer. Yes, and practicing being a ball girl. Like,
oh, my God. And she caught the ball and they were like, you can't do that. You have to let it bounce. First of all, I was like, she's athletic. Who knew?
She's always been. Yeah, she was always athletic. Wasn't she like a runner or a rower?
I think she was something like that.
She was like, always very athletic.
She's so ripped. Like her arms.
She's so ripped. I know. It's like actually really impressive. And you can tell that she has a genuine passion. Like I always say, Sporty Kate is my favorite Kate. And you know we're going to get some great looks at Wimbledon. It's coming up. You know they're going to be in the box, the Royals box. And like, she's just been on her A game. I would say actually like both Wills and Kate have been on their A game as a royal watcher, like in the press and the media right now. It's kind mm-hmm. of phenomenal.
No, they're really, you and I were talking about this a few days ago. I feel like maybe it was yesterday. I don't know what time is anymore, but we were talking and it's like, I think they're really capitalizing off of Meghan and Kate Harry and Meghan. Being in like their flop era and mm-hmm. they're like, oh, we're going to show up and show out. Like, yeah. we're going to like solve homelessness. We're going to play tennis. And Kate's just been looking better than ever.
She has. And we talked about it. Like she looks amazing. Something, mm-hmm. something's going on there. And mm-hmm. I want to know what, but maybe it's just, she's like found her stride. And you know what? Nothing gets you glowing better than truly being happy.
Yeah, I she seems happy. And like, I was watching the videos of her playing tennis and it was like nice to see a video of her where she's not just like smiling and like meeting people, but actually being like active and doing something and laughing. Yes. And I was like, oh, she's like a real person.
Yes. Like this is where she thrives and she genuinely seems to be having so much fun. And yeah. I loved the other, you know, young kids, the other young ball kids schooling her and helping her, and she's just genuinely taking it in. It's great content.
It was giving Diana.
It was a hit. It was giving Diana.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/betches.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In other news, we did get some sad news, but also, you know what, there's a positive on this story. So Fergie, Sarah Ferguson, is 63 years old, and a representative told People that Sarah, Duchess of York, was recently diagnosed with an early form of breast cancer detected at a routine mammogram screening. She was advised she needed to undergo surgery, which has taken place successfully, which is amazing. We love early detection. Get your mammogram screening. Now, I will definitely admit that I'm ignorant. I don't know what age you're supposed to start getting mammograms. I know they're extremely painful. I am curious why we haven't advanced this technology, but I am inclined to say that it's because it's a tool for women. So society 100%. Doesn't care. You know, but
yeah, it's all what doctors love to say to women, like when it comes to like medical, you know, what is the word I'm looking for? Medical treatments or whatever.
Attention.
Is there always like, it's just a little bit of pressure and they're like ripping your uterus out. You're like, yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Like I remember, I mean, TMI, but I remember when I got my IUD, they were like, it's just a little pressure. I'm like, I fainted after. No. Like I was not okay.
Yes. No, a girlfriend of mine had a cyst on her ovaries and they went in and they found that she also had like endometriosis and they literally like, all she described it as, and this is a trigger warning or another TMI, but like she was like, their way to remove the endometriosis was to scrape it off. They scrape it off your uterus. Ugh. Like, come on, come on. But you know what? We have the medical care. The Duchess had a quote saying that she received the best medical care and her doctors have told her the prognosis is good. She is recuperating with her family and she wants to express her immense gratitude to all the medical staff who have supported her in recent days. And this is one part that makes me chuckle because her spokesperson also told People, this is the era that we're living in, that the Duchess recorded a podcast episode the day before she went into surgery, which is set to be released early next Monday morning. So if we get that release in time, perhaps we'll have to have a little listen.
Oh, for
and,
sure.
And figure out what's going on.
Yeah. What is the name of her podcast, by the way?
Oh, my goodness. Something with tea.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, we don't even
like royal
recall.
Tea.
Yeah, is just, it says everything. And I remember the first time we spoke about it, it was like, she, you know how influencers, I'm just bucketing her now. Influencers tend to do, and they're like, I'm dropping this. Here's the teaser. It's actually giving archival
like,
audio.
I have something coming.
Yes. Where it's like, we're dropping this and it's going to happen. And then it like never came. But apparently she has an episode coming Monday. So stay tuned for that.
Well, I hope I hope everything goes well.
Yes. Happy to hear the prognosis is good.
Yeah, me too. So the next tea and crumpet kind of bleeds into our make it rain. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like we can kind of combine them. I don't know. Let's chat about it. So the United Talent Agency CEO Jeremy Zimmer admitted that he wasn't surprised about Spotify's breakup with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Quote, turns out Meghan Markle was not a great audio talent or necessarily any kind of talent. And you know, just because you're famous doesn't make you great at something.
Yeah.
So they're being dragged left and right.
They're being dragged. He actually also got pretty slammed for making this statement, especially at Cannes.
Well, also, like, what a place to do it.
I know. Like, people who don't know what Cannes Lions is, like, the way a lot of people in the industry describe it, and this is the industry that I work in, Pinterest had like a big activation there. A lot of brands like
flex.
I wasn't invited. No, I'm kidding.
My mic got lost in the mail.
But they call it like the Coachella for the advertising industry. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like a big, 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 big stage. You probably saw a ton of celebrities there. Alex Cooper was there with Spotify for mm-hmm. her podcast. If, you know, things had maybe gone better with Archwell and Archetypes, like perhaps Meghan and Harry could have been there. They would have been a great get. But Jeremy got pretty slammed for saying this. But, you know, we had this conversation last week and mm-hmm. we will continue to have this conversation where I don't disagree with what he is saying mm-hmm. entirely. Okay.
I feel like he says it in a very harsh way mm-hmm. of what you and I both kind of feel is like they're not utilizing their talents the way that they should be.
Efficient and effectively, yes.
Right. Because I don't think audio is the medium where Meghan Markle thrives. I think Meghan Markle thrives visually,
yeah,
talking to people, walking around, meeting yes. people. That
being
is
among
her
the masses.
Thing.
Yes.
Leaning into that would be great. Sitting on a podcast where you're only interviewing the celebrities.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's tough. And I think I said it to you in our, you know, chats as we go. And I was like, I agree and disagree with him because it's like, it is undeniable that, and we'll single out Meghan here in the sense that it's like when she wears something, when she says something, whatever, she has immense influence. Like mm-hmm. her influence is undeniable. It's tremendous. Again, she wears something, the pink Staud short suit, and it sells out immediately. Like mm-hmm. she wears a piece of jewelry, it sells out immediately. She has such solid influence. Talent aside, like there's value to her as a public figure for and sure. as a celebrity, right? But I think he's right in the sense of like, just because you're famous doesn't make you great at something. Like she, you know, like, yeah. Podcasting, maybe not her platform. Mm-hmm. Interviewing, maybe not her platform.
Now, I don't know why this is the example that comes to my mind right now of someone who's like famous and has a lot of influence, but like it's like singing wasn't their strong suit.
Yes.
And it like just fell flat. It was like, for example, now this is someone not like Meghan Markle at all, but I'm going to say Addison Rae. Mm-hmm. Addison Rae was like this huge TikToker, very famous, like skyrocketed in like 2021. And all of a sudden she like put out a song and everyone was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is not where you should be thriving. You need to be doing like beauty campaigns.
Yes.
Singing is because also you can tell that when it's not someone's passion, like people ask me sometimes for advice on Insta, like to start off an Instagram or something. And my advice to them always is like, post what you would want to see, post what you like, and someone out there will like yes. it too, and they'll connect with it. There's something about being on Instagram or social media, like where you can just feel when someone is being so inauthentic. And like, you 100%. Can't put your finger on it, but you're like, this doesn't like feel right to me.
100%. And I think two things. One, that's like where I go with Sporty Kate and with that Wimbledon yes. video and that content. She was authentically having the best time of her fucking life is yeah. what I took from that. And like, it resonates off of the video. It resonates off of the action. And like, again, we said this back in the beginning when we were reviewing and recapping the initial Archetypes episodes where it was like, Meghan felt uncomfortable. You could sense that there were nerves and she was nervous. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's totally fine. But maybe also take that as a sign to be like, maybe this isn't what I should be doing because it doesn't feel right within me. You know right. what I mean?
Because in the docuseries, we saw this like other side of her personality. We got to know more about.
And when the two of them were together.
Right. Like magic on screen.
Magic.
And we got to learn more about her background and like her personality. And I just don't. So honestly, like I'm kind of happy the Spotify deal didn't go through because like it wasn't working. It wasn't no. working for them.
No, it wasn't working for them. Hopefully it opens up more time. I'm like, all they have is time to focus on other projects and better or more well-suited projects. And we start mm-hmm. to see those. because really, like, we need that coming. And I think the last thing I'll say before we make it rain is, you know, there's a lot of rumors going on right now. I had a publicist friend of mine send me these, like, I think it was on Demois or something like that, where basically they were like, they're separating, they're getting a divorce. And I know we heard little rumblings around like Harry staying in a hotel and them not staying in the house together. But honestly, like, and my publicist friend said this too, like, she's like, if they actually are breaking up, like, they cannot break up for like 10 years. They can't afford it. After all that they've gone through and the uproar that they made to announce a separation or divorce right now would just be nuclear. It's giving Oppenheim coming out the same day as
Barbie. It's giving Oppenheim. Honestly, though, like, if they announced they're separating.
They can't.
Oh, my God. That, like, gives me anxiety. It honestly does. Like,
but I go back and forth because we did see them in the Netflix docuseries. And, like, to me, my opinion and my belief is, like, they are so in love. But, like, I think, too, again, there is this sentiment of people wanting them to fail. Mm-hmm. So where are these rumors stemming from? What proof do we have? And, like, what are we actually seeing? Because I think that this could just be, you know, light a match, stick it in a fire, and watch it take off.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's happening.
Even if – and again, even if it is happening behind closed doors, it can't. Again,
it
Archwell, being your publicists, your unofficial publicist.
I'm convinced someone on their team or something, like, listens to this podcast.
You think?
Just because, like, every time we put out an episode, now this could be me just, like, being delusional, but every time we put out an episode, I swear to God, like, the next day, something we discussed comes out in the news. It's so weird. Like, the Invictus Games.
Yes. And, like, we talked about that. And also, we'll get into it with Make It Rain, but there were a few things that we said last week that the next day, a couple articles were put out.
Yeah. I was like, this is weird. I mean, we're kind of already discussing it, but Lex, do you want to make it rain?
Oh, of course. Let's get in to this week's rant. And so we've got some big headlines, and I will also preface this by saying big, you know, a bit damaging headlines around Harry and Meghan from legitimate publications and outlets. So this is not like your page Daily six. Mail. This is not Page Six. This is Vanity Fair, Marie Claire, legitimate publications.
New York Magazine.
New York Magazine sharing some negative sentiments. So we'll start with the Vanity Fair one because it says, is the air coming out of Harry and Meghan's content balloon? After a best-selling memoir and a hit docuseries, the couple's split with Spotify is kicking up criticism. Mm-hmm. Fucking grifters, snapped Bill Simmons, as well as speculation about whether their $100 million Netflix deal could fizzle out next. Now, I do want to just preface this because this came out on the 21st, and as of this morning, literally right before we got on the horn, Hello Magazine published an article, and Hello is very deeply rooted with the royals. I would almost like consider them People Magazine levels, where it's like they're not going to put anything out there that if a source is a source, it's a legitimate source.
Yeah.
But they actually have a Netflix spokesperson going on record saying that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle continue to shine brighter than ever, according to Netflix spokesperson, dispelling any whispers of turbulence within their partnership. And they say, quote, the bond with Archwell Productions is one we deeply value. Harry and Meghan launched as Netflix's most spectacular documentary debut to date. Our exciting journey with them isn't ending anytime soon. We're currently collaborating on numerous projects, including the much-anticipated documentary series Heart of Invictus, which is the Invictus behind-the-scenes kind of docuseries that we spoke about, that we said we really wanted, that's like your drive to survive breakpoint type road Love to it. The Invictus Games, which I'm so fucking happy. It's all I wanted. So
I
one
know,
thing.
This is literally what we begged for.
We begged for this, like, and please. We begged for the TIG. So, like, please.
Oh my God. Like, what is she so against the TIG coming back? Like, what's going on? Just bring it
back. I don't know.
Just drop it like Beyonce dropped her album that one year.
Yes. I think it's truly about her wanting to be taken seriously, like, and feeling like that's not quote unquote serious. Like, and I just, I'm going to echo the same thing that we said last week. It's like, we don't care how serious you are. Like, mm-hmm. I want you to shine and Marco
Sparkle.
I don't
need you to be serious.
Yes. Where you do best. Like, I want a Stanley Tucci, Padma Lakshmi type show from Megan. Like, I would freaking eat that up.
I would
with
eat
a silver spoon or whatever spoon she recommended I buy on the take.
An eco-friendly spoon. A spork.
A spork.
I don't care. Please. I just want it.
Yes. But I think it's really, you know, telling for Vanity Fair to go this far. And, you know, they said that, yes, The Sussex is drama-filled. Autobiographical docuseries last December was Netflix's highest-viewed documentary debut, giving tens of millions of viewers something to love, hate as they closed out 2022. But by now, anyone who may have been expecting a full-on smorgasbord of Harry and Meghan curated content under the auspicious of Archwell Productions has probably moderated their expectations.
I mean, and to go off of that article, and then the New York Magazine just put out one that says Netflix's bold ultimatum for Harry and Meghan, no work, no pay. So over the weekend, The Sun reported that while the couple's six-part docuseries was the streaming platform's most viewed documentary ever, Netflix isn't interested in paying the Sussexes the additional $51 million they're owed as part of their deal unless the couple cranks out some content. So then it goes on to say even more, and it says an industry source told the UK paper that Netflix was pleased to sign Harry and Meghan and is looking forward to some great ideas going forward. The remainder of the deal relies on them producing those good ideas. The deal's continually under review, which is normal for ones of this magnitude.
Yes.
So.
And like, let's also keep in mind, Vanity Fair was the outlet that I believe got like the exclusive first interview. Remember, there was that beautiful...
Oh, yeah.
Like portrait profile, that portrait cover of her. And at first, I think they had airbrushed out her freckles and she wanted them to add them back in. Like that was Vanity Fair giving that interview. New York Magazine, which I believe is owned by the same like publishing house as The Cut. Remember, there was that chaotic article with Meg. And she was just like basically like being like, I can like speak about things, but I won't. Remember, there was that really juicy, juicy article, but still like a profile piece, a fair sort of like, you know, look at the two of them in their home life. Like,
yeah.
So these aren't magazines that are, again, like the Daily Mail or the Sunday Times, who are just like consistently going for a negative.
They're not like,
edge.
Like no one, like the sources that we're citing, I feel like kind of what you're saying is, they're not searching for things to put out about Harry and Meghan that are negative. They're not like, Meghan spends too much money on avocados, like running, you know, their credit card bill up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Daily Mail is just nuts. Whereas this, I'm just like, so for them to put this out, it's like, what's really going on? Especially because she's also signed with this huge agency. I'm like, so she has to do something major.
Mm-hmm.
Something has to come out.
She has to do something major. Also in this New York Mag article, they talked about a Saturday Journal piece that was digging into the couple's quote-unquote Hollywood flop, raised serious doubts about their ability to deliver programming that doesn't center on their own royal drama. So the paper reported that Archwell employees and associates say that the company often lacks direction and that its founders at times seem surprised by the work required to finish entertainment projects. Most potential initiatives, they said, follow a similar route. Big idea, subpar execution. And this is what I think, like, again, we've come back to saying, it's like, they have all of these, like, big, vast ideas. But then when it comes to execution, like, what's happening? Where is it going?
It's not going anywhere. Like, he can sit and talk in interviews and describe, like, his pain and, like, all this, you know, everything he's gone through as a child and being the spare and what him and Meghan have gone through. It's like, okay, but then what? Like, what now?
Exactly.
And so last week, remember, Bill Simmons called them fucking grifters and then kind of mentioned this like Zoom that he had with Prince Harry. And he was like, mm-hmm. it was crazy. So a Bloomberg report revealed that some of Harry's podcast pitches were interviewing Vladimir Putin, Mark Zuckerberg, and Donald Trump about their childhood trauma.
What?
Yeah. Let me tell you something. I don't give a fuck what their childhood traumas are.
Agreed.
Please Agreed. Be serious.
That's absurd.
Mm-hmm. So if that's true.
If that's true, that's something else. Mm-hmm. But like one point, like that's lastly that I want to make about this New York Mag article, the very last paragraph, again, for me, just echoes and like affirms our beliefs. Because mm-hmm. the author of this piece says, while I'll admit that I would probably watch a series in which Prince Harry has a breakdown while trying to navigate a Cheesecake Factory menu and Meghan teaches him to use Kohl's cash, things do not seem to be going in a great direction for Archwell. But it's like, that sentence to me is that so facts. Like, that's what we're saying. I would literally just watch them exist. Same. More than trying to have them educate or tell me something where it doesn't feel, to your point, authentic or like they have done their 10,000 Malcolm Gladwell hours to be experts in the subject of whatever they are trying to advocate for.
And it just feels like preachy sometimes from them. Mm-hmm. Like it just feels like you're talking. Sometimes I feel like they're talking down to us. I'm like,
yep,
we're fighting for our lives out here. We're not getting $20 million podcast deals.
Correct.
So chill. And yeah, like the thing about them, and I say this, I feel all the time, is I love to look at them and I love like watching them. So I wish that they would just lean into that. And give us like the Simple Life reboot or something.
You know? Give us anything like real and authentic to y'all. We don't have to see your kids. I don't need to see that. But like, just give us something a little bit lighter and admittedly mm-hmm. fluff. I would love fluff from these two. And I know that there would be their critics out there that would just be like, you know, that's the thing. If they gave us fluff, all of these like outlets would be talking about how they're giving us fluff. But at the end of the day, as like the general viewer and potentially your target demographic, I'm happy for fluff.
They got to win over the hearts and minds of America again. Yes. And you're going to do that with fluff. That's just how it's going to happen.
And they can't keep telling their same story.
Yeah, you can't keep doing this. And also, I mean, they also have to get over the fact that there will always be negative articles about them. They are, you know, he is the Prince of England. They are public figures. Like, it is going to happen. So you just kind of, they have to get over it.
They have to get over it.
I almost feel like they're so scared to do anything because they are so like in tune with like what the press is saying.
Yeah.
Which is like really not healthy. And Meghan reads the articles. I don't care what she says.
You think?
For sure. Are you kidding?
I don't know.
She probably has a Google alert. Like, let's be real.
I don't know if I agree with that because I feel like H&M, our peeps, love to live blissfully unaware. I really, really, really do.
Harry has said that he was like obsessed with reading articles about himself.
But still?
I'm sure that hasn't let up.
And here's the final thing I want to say on mm-hmm. this that is like very curious for me. Well, maybe it's 2 points, but I'll make them and you give me your feedback. Like we are getting... these like, you know, harsh articles about Harry and Meghan, and we're getting all of this solid, good press about like Wills and Kate. But I do not think that like these US publications would pick up, you know, or write these articles. Like this isn't coming from the Royal Rota. So I actually mm-hmm. think this is like one instance where this is an honest coincidence. But like my second thing and like what's, you know, making me anxious is like, we're getting these articles in a post-WME world. So, like, what's going
on?
What
I'm not getting.
What's going on with the WME?
Like, what are they doing for her over there?
And, like, are they, you know, letting these things come out, keeping their heads down, not responding, and planning the ultimate comeback of sorts? Or, like...
What do you think that would be?
I mean, we got to get press around the Invictus Games.
Have to. Must.
But Megan needs to come out with something. And I know that, again, when you read all of these articles, and we can link them when this comes out on Thursday, but like mm-hmm. a lot of the content that they are sort of pitching is like fictional content, right? It's not unscripted. It's scripted series. There's some show based on a character from Great Expectations. There was another like children's series that was, not greenlit at all. Yeah. But I just feel like we need to get something almost unscripted from Meg here. And
desperately.
What would we get? Or we need to get a Megan memoir.
Lex, I gotta be honest. I don't need a Megan memoir right now.
But it would cause.
I would be exhausted.
So much noise. So much noise.
It would cause so much noise, and it'd be great for us. It'd be great for this podcast. So, I welcome it. If that's what whatever she wants to do, I'm happy to watch and see what she does, but I need her to do something.
Yeah. We need her to do something. No disrespect to this content, because I watched it and it was educational and good. Like, I don't want to live to lead. I don't want, as you said, like a Megan preaching
at me. I don't
want
to live to lead.
About it. But like, I want something light and fun from Megan. Something that, maybe leans into her personal interests and tastes. Mm-hmm. Like, for the love of everything holy, please give me that.
Please. I don't want to live to lead.
No.
I don't. We are in such a weird time, like socially and culturally, that I think all of us have reached our bandwidth. Like, we just, none of us know what the fuck we're doing. The earth is on fire. Like, we don't need to hear from Harry and Meghan, how to live to lead.
Yes.
We need to learn how to live to survive,
Correct. Correct. And I do think, I've even noticed it with myself, that there is just leaning into everything that's happening in the world. Like, there is this, content is skewing into here's everything that's wrong in the world. And I understand that that show was telling stories about leaders and great people trying to do good amidst all of the terrible things happening in the world. But the it's fact amazing. Of the matter was it was just a reminder that things were real bad.
Or shit.
Yeah. It's time for our favorite game of Mail or Fail. One of these is a real headline from the Daily Mail or a similar publication, and the other has been completely made up by our producers. So will we spot the mail or will we fail?
So let's start with option number one. Artificial intelligence. Meghan Markle accused of using AI for guest interviews on Axe's 18 million pound Spotify podcast. Option number two. 404 not found. King Charles and Queen Camilla's first royal website taken down.
Oh man, very technical today.
Yeah, very technical. I'm going to say the real one is number one, solely just because,
I feel like AI is just was getting into its stride when she started recording. So that's
for sure.
Very timely.
And we've heard that there was some shady shit going on.
Yes.
Regarding, so let's see, The Sun, okay, classic. Okay, one second. I clicked on it. Okay, sorry. Okay, so we were wrong. Hello Magazine reports that King Charles and Queen Camilla's first royal website is taken down, taken offline. Wow, the princeofwales.gov.uk simply just has a white screen. Interesting. It is quite possible that the Prince of Wales website has been unplugged in order to make necessary changes to switch over to Prince William.
Oh.
Okay. That makes sense then. I was a little confused.
Oh my God. Yeah,
he's not a prince.
So are they going to get a new website?
I don't feel like King Charles needs a website. Am I crazy? What?
I don't know. I feel like he has to.
I mean, he probably will.
This site can't be reached. Say. Also, princeofwales.gov.uk is the best thing I've ever seen.
It's giving at AOL.com. It really is. Comcast.net.
Your first messenger username or your first email address.
Oh, yeah. It's giving geriatric.
Have we talked about this? What was your first email address?
Yours?
No, like, what was yours? Did you have an embarrassing one?
It's so embarrassing. Like, I can't even tell you what it was.
Okay.
What was yours?
Oh, my God. I think it was, like, Strawberry Daiquiri 39. Because I had gone to, like, an all-inclusive resort with my family and drank virgin strawberry daiquiris for the first time.
I remember mine. I'll tell you.
Tell me.
This is so embarrassing. And I wasn't even like a Disney girly. Like, I don't know what I was thinking, but it was like M Mouse 9203 because I was born in 92 and I think I did this in 2003 at yahoo.com.
Oh my God. M Mouse.
Isn't that like so embarrassing? M Mouse. Like, the things I share on podcasts. I remember one time on my podcast, I shared that I used to train myself to sleep pretty. Yeah. It was like a whole thing.
Like, so that you wake up like looking dainty and like not like.
Like, I always had this like idea that like if my crush were to see me sleeping, like, would he think I was pretty while I was sleeping? So I trained myself to sleep like with my mouth closed. Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing. M Mouse, training yourself to sleep.
PrinceOfWales.gov.uk. Okay, well.
We'll keep our eyes on that. I'll keep our eyes peeled on that website. So to finish up, let's name our spotted dick for the episode. Who has been a real steamed pudding this week?
I'm torn here. But okay. You know what? I might have to give it to the talent agencies of LA. Mm. And I'm giving it to UTA and Jeremy Zimmer for making that comment at Cannes, because that's just like very bold. But it's also giving it to WME because I'm like, where are you at with the good press? Yeah.
Like, let's step it up. Like, what are we doing here?
It's time.
It's time. And I'm going to echo everything you're saying. Okay. It's giving mess. It's giving, I'm just not, you know, but I think, you know, my real steam pudding is probably Prince Harry, if it's true that he wanted to interview Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Okay. And Donald Trump and Mark Zuckerberg. Like, if that's true, that's really horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. Well, you guys, that's it for this week's episode of Crown Jewels. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now.
We'll have new episodes every single Thursday, so be sure to subscribe now so you don't miss our next episode. Tell all of your royally obsessed friends and follow me at Lex Nico.
And you can follow me at Bravo Historian. And until next time,
may God save the batch.
Betches.